Technorama episode 737, Catacoustics. Whatever that is. Hey, welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or viewing Technorama, welcome to the show. We appreciate you giving us your time. If you're returning, welcome back. My name, if you're returning, you already know my name, don't you? But if you're new, let me tell it to you. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and right over there is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm glad I stumped you. You don't know what catacoustics is?
No. Is that like it? What, listening to the cat go meow?
Sort of. Okay. It's actually the study of how sounds bounce off different surfaces, or otherwise known as the echo effect.
Ah, so when I go like this, and I clap, you don't want to hear echoes around your studio.
Yeah, right.
I'm keenly aware of it, particularly when I'm on the phone with some friends and I'm walking around the house and I step into the studio and it's like this, everything just deadens right up. And then I step back outside and like, whoa, it's really echo here in the foyer.
Yeah. Yeah. I do the same thing, especially, there's been a few times I've been in a place and I remember speaking, but the acoustics were so bad, it was messing with my ears.
Or listening to someone do a podcast from like a really echoey conference room on their built-in microphone on the laptop.
Right.
Like, those are starting to drive me nuts, Craig. I can understand if a guest of a podcast has, you know, nominal equipment, maybe even talking into their microphone. But when the host doesn't even invest in a halfway decent microphone, I'm out. I'm sorry. That's just rude.
Well, I do subscribe to the content as king, but the audio needs to be decent.
as Rob Walsh from, well, he used to be Podcast 411. Now he's owner of Libsyn. As he says, content is king and quality is queen. And if the queen ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's true. If the quality is marginal, I mean, it depends on what they're talking about. I can kind of forgive it a little bit, but you're right. It doesn't take a lot to invest in. I mean, I got one of those
under $100, a USB microphone. You can sound pretty decent.
I got two USB microphones. One's like, the Snowball, you know, from, Blue or, well, Logitech. And then the other one is,
The H2.
Well, yeah, I got the H2, but I was thinking of the
Rodecaster Pro or the Rode podcast, the Rode Podcaster.
Yes, that's a little microphone. Yep,
little. That thing's size of a summer sausage.
What's that square one? What was that square one? Little USB.
I have no idea.
It's from Rode.
The NT USB.
I think that's it. Yes, that's it. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and I use the NT USB Mini on my laptop for like Zoom calls and whatnot. I don't do all my stuff. Anyway, enough about podcasting for dummies. We're here with a question of the week for you. So let's hear feedback from our creative audience. And I use that in air quotes. Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Rippity-doo-dah. Oh, letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say. Question of the week. I'm really surprised we didn't get 1,000 answers. There are so many ways to go with this.
Right.
But we'll begin anyway. Our question for you last time was, what movie would be most improved if you add versus Predator to the title?
I see one I love right now.
Okay, go for it.
Mark Kilfoyle said, Tucker and Dale versus Evil versus Predator. Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I threw out there Shaun of the Dead versus Predator just because it was, you know, so idiotic that it needs straightening up. Or you could go with the Wizard of Oz versus Predator. You know, go to the Wayback Machine.
All right. Speaking of what'd you say?
Keep going.
Now, one of my other favorite movies is Idiocracy. And Mark Kilfoyle said Idiocracy versus Predator, which I think the Predator would have a field day with the people in that movie.
Weber Baker says Barbie versus Predator. And I don't think he means Klaus Barbie.
Ralph Wangler said Care Bears or Ted.
Versus Predator.
Versus Predator.
Yeah, I can see that. Smurfs. What was I saying when we came up with this Ooh. Idea? Like Muppets versus Predator?
Yeah, that's what...
Lone Guys Knight says Terminator versus Predator. And then, of course, Kyle... This turns into a big discussion. Kyle says, Lone Guys Knight, this should be Commando versus Predator. Just have Arnold play the same character in both movies.
Yeah.
And then he says it's not like he'd lose in either case.
Right. There's actually a bunch of them on here. Your sister, Martha Tomasi, said Jaws versus Predator.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Wonder if that Predator can go underwater.
Steve London said Pride and Prejudice versus Predator. Or he said the zombie version was hilarious.
Right. All right. So I got a bunch of them on mine too. We got a whole bunch of them.
Wait, we're not done.
I know. Are you going to read them all?
Yes. We'll go through these real quick. Okay. Pardon us. We're not going to have the attribution in here. Borat versus Predator. Hold on there, you monster guy. You slow down. I have to get you.
I will kill you. Great success.
Space. Let me show you my potassium. Spaceballs versus Predator. Bambi versus Predator. The Karate Kid versus Predator. Stephen Weshey says, going back to 88, but I would pay to watch Barney and the Backyard Gang versus Predator. Garfield versus Predator. The Queen versus Predator. Sharknado versus Predator. Aladdin versus Predator. Rambo versus Predator. Judge Dredd versus Predator. Seymour. Not Seymour versus Predator. Fifth Element versus Predator. 007 versus Predator. Superman versus Predator.
Now that sounds interesting too.
Keep going.
All right. So let me pull up.
Yours.
Mine. All right. So Pee-wee's Big Adventure versus Predator.
I'm trying to get killed.
Yeah. All right. So Steel Magnolias, Blues Brothers, The Usual Suspects, and Ordinary People.
The Blues Brothers versus Predator. That's awesome. Let's see. Sean says Riddick versus Predator, Beetlejuice versus Predator, Serenity versus Predator. Here's another Idiocracy. Venom, Sharknado, Wonka, Barbie. We got that. My Left Foot versus Predator. Jack Mangan to the rescue.
Right.
The Unbearable Lightness of Being versus Predator. Bambi. My brother says Barbie. Wow, a lot of Barbie fans or not fans.
Everybody, I think, pretty much liked Barbie.
Andy Helsby said Home Alone versus Predator. Ooh, now that's got potential.
Yeah. Imagine the Predator trying to go up the stairs.
Get in the house. Paint bucket. Right, the whole thing. That's what I said. All right.
I got a few more.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a few more. All right, so Mark Kilfoyle. Now this one, if you hold your breath long enough, it could happen. Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla and Kong versus Predator. Joe Fiore said Ernest versus Predator.
Ernest.
All right. Our buddy Darren Abbott said Oppenheimer versus Predator.
As long as, Ernest, as long as the Predator, Ernest versus Predator, the Predator is referred to as Vern.
Yeah. Hey, Vern. And Derek Coward said My Cousin Vinny versus Predator.
Does he come with two utes?
Yes, right.
Thank you, everybody. That was entertaining. We should do that one again. We'll consider adding something on the end of a movie title.
Right.
Versus Kong. Versus Godzilla. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But we can't do it too often.
I bet some Sony executives going, you're writing those down.
No Sony executive listens to this podcast, Greg.
If you do, call in. How do they call in, Chuck?
Hallucinating again. 707-530-2428. Have a good time. Okay. All right, let's get into the history. We're moving right along. On this day in history, for March 27, 2024, it's the 87th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 279 days remaining in 2024. It was on this date in 1513 that Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon reached the northern end of the Bahamas on his first voyage to Florida, and he said, I think I will live here. It is a nice place.
I live here now. On March 27th, 1886, Geronimo, American Apache warrior, surrendered to the U.S. Army, ending the main phase of the Apache Wars.
I did a little reading on this. Did you know that Apache doesn't refer to one tribe? It's like a conglomerate of several tribes? And Geronimo comes from two of those. And he was actually born in New Mexico when it was a territory of Mexico, but he didn't believe Mexico had the right to their land either. So, cool stuff.
Yeah.
It was 112 years ago today that First Lady Helen Taft and the Viscountess Chinda, wife of the Japanese ambassador, planted two Yoshino cherry trees on the northern bank of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., the origin of the National Cherry Blossom Festival. I'm coming back to that one in a little bit.
All right. So also today in 1915, Typhoid Mary, the first healthy carrier of disease ever identified in the United States, was put in quarantine for the second time, where she would remain for the rest of her life.
I get cherry blossoms, you get Typhoid Mary. How did what?
Wonderful.
Okay. It was 60 years ago today that the Good Friday earthquake, the most powerful earthquake recorded in North American history at a magnitude of 9.2, struck south central Alaska, killing 125 people and inflicting massive damage to the city of Anchorage.
Yeah. That same date in 1975, construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline system began. Speaking of Alaska,
it's 48 years ago today that the first section of the Washington Metro opened to the public. And I'm coming back to that one, too.
And also on March 27th, 1998, everybody was looking up because the Food and Drug Administration approved Viagra for use as a treatment for erectile dysfunction. The first pill to be approved for this condition in the United States.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You read ahead. Good job. I didn't think that was a thing you did, but it is. So happy birthday goes out of the date this date to French engineer, urban planner, and politician Georges Eugène Haussmann. He was French with a name like Haussmann. Anyway, he was born on this date in 1809.
Now, Edward Augustus Inglefield, the first English admiral and explorer, was born 204 years ago today.
Nowhere in that sentence does it say first. But anyway, he's an English admiral and explorer.
Yeah.
Born March 27, 1844, American general and explorer, Medal of Honor recipient, Adolphus Greeley. I thought it was Horace Greeley, but he's the one who said, go west, young man. Maybe they were related. Who knows?
And German physicist and academic, a Nobel Prize laureate, Wilhelm Röntgen, was born 179 years ago today.
Close enough. He's the guy who discovered Röntgen. X-rays.
Yeah.
And I have problems with his name, too, so I'm glad you got it. Ooh. Happy birthday goes March 27, 1847, German chemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, Otto Wallach.
Bless you. American target shooter, colonel, mountaineer, geographer, geologist, and archaeologist, every gist in the world, William Libby was born on this date in 1885.
He's a mechanist and a photographist. And Douglas
man.
Douglas Hartree, the English mathematician and physicist, was born 127 years ago today.
And American mathematician and computer programmer Margaret K. Butler was born on this date in 1924.
100 years ago! Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
American science fiction writer Kevin J. Anderson is 62.
And also born on that same date in 1963, American director, producer, screenwriter, and actor Quentin Tarantino.
Finally, Canadian actor Nathan Fillion is 53. He seemed older to me, but okay.
Yeah.
Listener birthdays. We're going to go back a little bit because we missed a week and there were some important people here. So March 21st is Crazy Joe Fiore. The 23rd is two birthdays, Steve Ricky Berg and Richard Parkman. On the 25th is Nicholas St. Gabriel. I believe he's a former patron member for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some schmuck named Chuck. Oh, that'd be me.
Yeah, jerk.
Brenna Baird in Hampton, VA is also on the 26th. Yay, someone else in the March 26th club. And Mark Blackburn is coming up this week on March 29th. Happy birthday to all of you. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, you go over to chuckchat.com/birthday. roll that beautiful banner footage, Craig, for the people that are viewing along. Chuckchat.com/birthday, and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday this week and we didn't get you on the list, well, happy birthday to you anyway. You're going to get one whether you like it or not. And go over there and we'll get you next year. How's that for a deal?
Yeah.
Okay, let's march the band on out of here. Bump, 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 down the alleyway, just like on the Blues Brothers. And back to those 2 points that I was going to make. So,
one second. We had before you move on.
Barbenheimer versus Predator.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of when I saw Oppenheimer show up in my comments.
So back to the Cherry Blossom Festival. There's a reason why I get to put these in here.
Okay.
Well, it's my job to make the On This Day in History thing. So I get to choose what events and birthdays are in there. This past week, as you noticed, a week ago, we did not have a show because I was out of town. I was in Washington, D.C. for a launch event. We name our software releases at ServiceNow after Cities of the World. And last week was the release of W for Washington, D.C. So the company once again asked me to co-MC an event on stage, live audience. It was a grand old time. Then my co-MC and teammate, Lauren, and I decided to take Wednesday as a tourism day. We said, let's just tack on an extra day. We'll pay for the hotel rooms, no problem. And it was beautiful. So we got there on Sunday. The temps were in the mid-70s. We'll just say, for the sake of the people in Celsius, that it was about 23, 24, 25. Very beautiful weather. But I got there a little late. Didn't have time to do any sightseeing. Lauren was already out and took a few pictures over by the Jefferson Memorial and said, the cherry blossoms are popping out. They're second earliest year ever. So that was nice. And then the temperatures dropped radically. It was like the highs was about 10, which is about 50 for us.
Right.
In freedom units, as some people call it.
Freedom units. Okay.
So Monday and Tuesday were rather chilly. Well, that's fortunate because we had rehearsals and then the performance and / recording. Our vacation day was going to be Wednesday. Temperatures warmed back up. Not too bad. About 18, 19 Celsius. So mid-60s. Not too bad. And sun was out. We walked around taking pictures. In fact, I got sunburned on the top of my head because I wasn't wearing a hat. And my hair is thinning. The cherry blossoms were just beautiful. We managed to walk 10 miles. We went to the National Air and Space Museum. We went to the Natural History Museum. Saw a lot of stuff. During the morning, like Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, as we're getting ready, I turn on the local news. Because when I travel, I like to just kind of get a beat on what's happening. The weather, the news, is anything closed that we need to know about?
Have the zombies came yet?
Right. It's Washington. You never know.
Yeah. No, they're always there.
We elected them. That's right. So they had two articles that paid dividends later. One of them, the newscaster who's out and about in the city doing their thing, is sitting in the front of a commuter train cabin. He's in the pilot's wheel. He goes, this is as close as I'll ever get to driving one of these things. It was a static display. They're showing off the new technology they're using for their commuter trains that they're rolling out. Heated floors, digital signage, all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went, oh, that's kind of cool. And, you know, filed it under FYI.
Yeah.
Later, they went down to where the cherry blossoms are along the tidal pool by the Jefferson Memorial, et cetera. And they had some guy dressed up in a mascot uniform. He looked like a brown rotten banana with like this one sprig of flowers out his head. And his name tag said Stumpy. I went, what is this? And it was a story about the little tree that could. So this was apparently a cherry blossom tree that wasn't doing very well, but still managed to hang on.
Wait, did it like a George Washington cosplayer come over and chop it down and run off?
Chop Stumpy off at the knees. That's nice and gory. Thanks, Craig.
I was talking about the cherry tree.
Right. George Washington's going to chop off this cosplayer.
Yeah. Comes over here. Bah, 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 bah.
Only you, Craig. Only you. Well, so Lauren and I are walking around, and we get to the Jefferson Memorial, take a few pictures, and we're walking on towards the Korean War Memorial. and taking pictures of the cherry blossoms. And sure enough, there's this crappy little tree with one branch of flowers sticking out of it. And there's a few people taking pictures. It wasn't like a mob scene or anything because it was the middle of the week and it was rather still warming up, shall we say. And I just went, hey, that must be Stumpy. And Lauren looks at me like, how do you know this? You know, I visited once 6 years ago and I didn't even get to this place and it wasn't cherry blossom season. So she was amazed at this depth of knowledge about Stumpy. And I told her that, all right, I saw it on the news yesterday morning. We're walking a little further and we get, I forgot where I actually saw it, but there's the two train cars kind of up on blocks with people lined up to get in to see the new commuter train technology. I said, oh, and there's the new commuter trains.
Right.
I'm like this walking DC encyclopedia now just because I watched the news in the morning. So that was kind of fun. And we started wondering, when did the first cherry trees get planted? Not knowing that this was coming up in On This Day in History.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So maybe it was before World War II, after World War II, as a way of saying thank you for not blowing the rest of our country up. We're not sure what happened and why these showed up. So now we know that it was back in 112 years ago, 1912, that First Lady Helen Taft took the first two. And it said on the north bank of the Potomac River. So I don't know exactly where those two are. If those two are still alive, the ones we saw were mainly around the tidal pool, the Washington Monument, that sort of thing. Just beautiful out there. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. It was perfect weather, perfect timing. Wonderful, wonderful day. Perhaps I'll share some pictures on social media or something, but had a good time.
Well, what else did you see?
What else did we see? That was the whole day. We walked 10 miles. Oh, we saw. Oh, I see what you're begging for. Yeah, when we went into the Air and Space Museum, I said, I want to see two things. I want to see the USS Enterprise, and I want to see the Spirit of St. Louis. Got in the front door, turned right, and there's the Enterprise in its showcase. Right. Well, that was easy. Check.
Yep.
We hunted around a little bit for the Spirit of St. Louis and later asked one of the employees, I said, where is it? Said, oh, it's being renovated or refurbished right now. I went, oh. She said, up until about a month ago, you could peek behind the curtain and see it, but now it's completely sealed off. Dang.
Thanks for letting me know that.
I'll have to come back. That's all. Yeah. But we did see some other cool stuff in there.
Now, we went there in 2019.
Yeah.
And we went to this Air and Space Museum, which was cool. And we saw, pretty much all the stuff you saw. It's been renovated, I think, since we've
been there. Changing it. I mean, obviously, we're making new science discoveries. So there's new satellites to hang from the ceiling.
There was an X-Wing hanging.
There is an X-Wing there from the final Skywalker film. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was the most impressive thing, or the thing that left a lasting impression on me, was John Glenn's capsule. And you actually look at the back of it. It doesn't look like there's that much separating him from heat when it's coming back.
I was more impressed amazing. With Neil Armstrong's suit. Just to be within a few inches. Obviously, it was in a glass case, but that was dang impressive. The genuine article of a lot of these things is still there. Now, there is a V'ger on the ceiling, but it's not one or two, obviously. They're still way out there. But it was usually when NASA launches a satellite, they have another mock-up, like a duplicate on the ground in case they run into problems and going, well, is there a way we can fix this? It's sort of like having your development environment before you put it into production.
Yeah. Hey, if there's anything, now museums can make you feel old. Now we went to the,
yes.
Listen, we went to the American History Museum, which was really cool. The Natural History one was great too, but the American History one, my first car that I owned was a 1970. I had a 78 Honda Civic.
And
so we're walking around there and they have, and you know, you're old when your first car is actually in the museum as an exhibit piece.
Craig, I got one better for you. You know, you're old when they exhibit you in the museum. That happened to my parents.
What? Your parents are in a museum?
When they lived in Marquette, Michigan, up until like 18 months ago. It was 2020, I think it was, maybe 2019.
Okay.
The Marquette History Museum was doing a history of sports in the Upper Peninsula. And one of the ones they did was scuba diving. And my parents sort of pioneered and brought scuba diving into the area. And there's a picture of them. And, you know, one of them just like, great. We're now in the museum.
Are you in there too?
I may have been in like a newspaper clipping or something that was hanging on the wall, but it was mainly about them.
Kid get Tomasi gets arrested. Newspaper clipping.
Famous events. No.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we go on with the news?
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to end up skipping over something because we were talking.
We might. We'll go quick. We don't have to go into the depths of all of these. So let's pick a random.
Good news, everyone.
There we go. Well, hey, you know that we've heard a lot of news about Elon Musk and how he wants to get people to Mars. Yep. They're not going to be there for life. They're going to be the most. You can get out of this trip is about 4 years due to the radiation and whatnot.
Well, so, let's look at it this way. Your life will be 4 years on Mars, and that's about it. So you could be there out for your life.
More of a sentence. Yeah, yeah. You stay longer, you've lived out your life. I don't think I want to go. There's not much atmosphere, and whatever protection you bring has to be really good, but it's not good enough.
Well,
ever.
Aside from the problems they outline here, you know, just as a thought experiment, I think it would be cool to be able to walk on Mars and the things you would see. I don't know if I want to go because of what they said here, because there's a good chance you may not come back.
Yeah, they found that human exposure to radiation threats, including particle radiation from the sun, distant stars and galaxies, would exceed safe levels after 4 years on the planet.
Yeah, because the atmosphere is so thin and it doesn't have the, you know, the kind of atmosphere we got here to protect us.
Nope, not having it.
So,
pass.
You can imagine it would be cool to be making that kind of, you know, step for all mankind kind of thing. You know, you're on them.
Only the first one counts, Craig.
I'm saying
the third from Apollo. Well, not 13. from Apollo 14 or 15 or 16. Or 17 minus Eugene Cernan, because he was the last one on the moon.
I'm just saying the kid in me sees the excitement of doing something like this, but I don't know if, you know, I would actually go through it.
It doesn't take, the moon was 3 days to travel away. This is 2 years, it's a long trip.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from the new scientist, gentleman by the name of, I'm going to probably mispronounce his name.
It
could be Michael Telegrand. It could be Michel Telegrand. Don't know. Depends if he's French or not. But it was.
I think he is French, isn't he?
Yes. He's based at the French National Center for Scientific Research, the CNRS. So we'll go with Michel Telegrand. Mm-hmm. And he won a prize. And this is sort of like the Nobel Prize of Mathematics. Now, he won it for making sense out of randomness is basically what it comes down to.
Guess what? That's been my whole career.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I know.
He said he kind of based it on his random career. But I think the most interesting quote that I found at the bottom was where he says, "I'm not able to learn mathematics easily. I have to work. It takes a very long time and I have a terrible memory." Like, wow, you might be in the wrong occupation, buddy, but hey, here's an award. He says, "I forget things. So I try to work despite these handicaps. And the way I worked was trying to understand really well the simple things." So good for him.
Yeah.
Says he lost an eye at the age of 5.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did read that. But look at his picture, you wouldn't tell.
Yeah, the first picture, his eyes aren't aimed in the same direction, but it's close.
Yeah.
So very cool. Mm-hmm. Random systems can often be extremely complex and contain many random variables, but Telegrand's methods, which convert these systems to geometric problems, can extract useful values. Quote, "He is a master in obtaining precise estimates and knowing exactly what to add or subtract in order to get sharp estimates." Why is this important? Well, because you may have weather patterns. It says his equations, known as Telegrand inequalities, can be used for many systems to show a concentration of measures, says Asaf Naor at Princeton University. such as famous algorithmic puzzles like the traveling salesman problem. I believe that's where you give somebody a some houses and roads and whatnot, and you say you have to visit these in the most efficient manner.
Oh, right. Yes.
I clicked on the link, and it says scientists figure out the shortest path between like 2 million galaxies. I went, yeah, okay. Or 2 million star systems. That's nice if you're telling Captain Kirk you'll need that.
Yeah. I guess they can use that to do the salesman equation.
It said, these problems are common in the real world. For example, bridge builders might need to know the maximum wind strength to expect from local weather. So there you go.
When he said randomness and his little quote about randomness and stuff, I was like, I just explained my whole career. So
I thought that was cool. I didn't even know there was an Abel Prize or an Abel Prize. A-B-E-L. Depends what language you're speaking. And we're probably not speaking the right one. All right. If you're paying attention to the news, which I know many of you are, you probably already know that Neuralink, the Elon Musk's company that wants to hook up your brain to a computer, made their first human trial transplant patient, not transplant, but implant in a 29-year-old quadriplegic. And they said it's not perfect, but it works. And within a few hours, this guy who couldn't really move much of anything is now playing, what was it, chess? He was playing video games with his mind. He said it was a bit like using the Force.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing, though?
Although they did get some bad PR because they were testing on monkeys.
Noel, actually, Elon made the quip that he said no monkeys were harmed or killed.
No. Yeah, it said those animal experiments have been the subject of scrutiny after Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a medical ethics group, accused the company of putting monkeys through, quote, extreme suffering as a result of inadequate animal care and the highly invasive experimental head implants during these experiments. PCRM asked the U.S. regulators to investigate Musk for securities fraud after he posted on X that, quote, no monkey has died as a result of a neural plant. He didn't say that they didn't go through pain and suffering. He just said they didn't die.
I know.
Like, that's not the same thing, buddy.
Well, he also added it was a monkey paradise. Well, I'm like, wow, really digging in there.
Here's a bunch of, cheese and crackers? I don't know what monkeys like to eat, but, you know, if you've got this bolt sticking out of your head or something, that doesn't sound like a monkey paradise. Monkey paradise. What was that? Monkey Island, maybe.
What was that movie? I know, not Planet of the Apes, but there was one. Wasn't there one where used for training in the Air Force or something like that? And they kind of revolted. I'm trying to remember what that was.
Sounds like Planet of the Apes.
It was an 80s movie, I think.
Maybe it was the first batch of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I have to think about that.
Before Andy Serkis got into it.
Yeah.
All right. Getting into the hacks and strange stories. How are we doing on time? We're doing fine.
Yeah, 36 then.
Okay. Getting into the hacks and strange stories, we need to play a sound effect that sounds a lot like this. I think this is about the time when I start to check out. This is from Unilad.com. And apparently, scientists have now made a little metal man. And I say little by this, millimeters high. A little metal man that they put him in a cage and then they melted him and he got out and they reconstituted him. This sounds like the T-1000.
Yeah, this is just one of those other inventions they're going to put in a big black cauldron and make Skynet.
Pretty much. We've got the AI piece. It's on a healthy track. Now we need the little metal man.
Yeah.
No. What are they saying here? They said, fortunately... Said researchers did assure the world that their robot mini was never tasked with the murder of John Connor. So that's nice.
Right? Yeah. Thanks for the summary.
We'll send a link in the show notes over at the, I almost said the topic is tracked. That's not it. Other show over at chuckchat.com under episode number 737. Oh, check out the Hacks and Strange Stories. It doesn't say how long this took. It looks like a severe time lapse, but they used the magnetic properties of the metal to basically deconstruct it and melt it and then let it, how it flowed out of this little prison cell, I don't know.
But yeah, I'm not sure about that.
They did it in such a way that you could see that it was a bit like, you know, listening to Thomas Edison go, "Mary had a little lamb." You know, compared to the audio quality we've got.
Watson, come in here.
That's a bit like what you see here. Very primitive version, but holy catfish, the T-1000's coming.
Hey, now, I didn't put this article in here, but there was another article I saw demonstrating how far they're coming with robots. And I know we talked about a video last time we recorded where they were showing robots and they were moving objects and how dexterous they were. Didn't we talk about that? And the article was talking about how much of a progression they've made since January to now. And the video, there's robots charging themselves, sorting items. One was actually folding laundry and handing it to somebody.
Oh, good. Do mine.
Bring him to the house.
the Turing test of that is, can you fold a fitted sheet?
Yeah. Well, what was funny was he folded his shirt. I was like, okay, it wasn't perfect, but it was folded. And then he picked it up and handed it to a man, and the man, and it kind of fell apart, you know, the folding. I was like, okay, we got some work to do, guys.
The problem was he was folding the shirt while the man was still wearing it.
Yeah. Oh!
My arm!
Yeah. Hey, buddy, we got to break some eggs to make this omelet, you know.
Thank you for being a test subject. Next.
Yeah. Next.
Speaking of test subjects, there's a bit of research on dog brains and what they understand. And I thought it was kind of fascinating reading through this article. You, Mr. Dog Owner, what are your thoughts?
I kind of agree. They were actually... In this article, they were demonstrating that dogs actually understand nouns and the names
objects,
objects. And I would agree. I mean, how many times do you say go get the ball and they go get the ball? Or
well, that's when the only object to get is a ball. I love this.
Wait a minute.
I love how this story starts out with, you know, we once had a dog and she hated this other dog named Puma. And even if you just said Puma, the dog would visualize it.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my dogs, Juno, has this plushy duck. It's about the size of your palm. And after she eats in the evening, not in the morning, in the evening, she will go get it and wants me to chase her with it.
Yes.
And throw it for her and stuff like that. And we call it quack quack. So whenever I say go get quack quack, she'll go get the duck and bring it back. So
if you say something else, like go get the ball.
She won't get that. She wouldn't get that.
Right.
She wouldn't get the duck. No, it's quack quack. Actually, it's got a name. Well, sort of, but that's the object's name to her.
Right.
Yeah, she'll go get it and she'll bring it back.
In this test, they said rather than they reversed it because they did this study years and years ago. I think it was like 1981. And they said there were hundreds of studies replicated on this. They said the change they made this time was to switch the order of the stimuli. The words were uttered first. So rather than showing them, you know, quack, quack, and saying, go get quack, quack.
Yeah.
They would say the words first, and then matching or mismatching objects were shown second. Because when they hear the word, which activates a mental representation of the object, they're expecting to see it. The sound was made. And then, of course, they got sensors on them to figure out, are they firing the right stimuli and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it was very fascinating that they took this new approach to an old test. You can teach an old test new tricks. And,
right.
You know, doing these EEG readings to figure out, is the dog actually responding? And again, they have another wonderful quote at the end. Dogs are very social. They're not really interested in objects. And they said that because when dogs started first hanging out around humans 18,000 to 30,000 years ago, They were selected for specific action-oriented functions, which is why mm-hmm. they usually respond to commands like lie down.
And bred for something, so for those yeah. traits too. Yeah.
Come here, sit, mm-hmm. stay, those types of things. They understand pretty well because they were bred for that, like you said. Mm-hmm. Not so much object, but today's dogs are more house pets. Many of them, I should say. House pets, and they're surrounded by things. So,
yes.
They're seeing, is this translating? I mean, if you get a little Pomeranian, who obviously isn't going to go kill that lion. But
no.
you can say, bring me your toy. Will it do it? So they said, it may be that those selected fetching studies dogs could tell one bouncy, shiny, plasticky gadget from another. It just didn't matter to them when there was a human with them because they like interacting with humans. That's what they enjoy.
Well, also consider, and which is kind of what you were saying, is, you know, dogs have been companions for, you know,
thousands of years.
So they're going to end up picking up some of our traits because they're just hanging out with us so much or understanding more words. And I'm not saying Juno is the smartest dog on the planet, but I generally talk to her, you know, like I would anybody else. And like, when I say go get the ball or, you know, or something like that, I try to talk to her. And there's times I'm like, I swear to God, she looks like she's looking at me like she's understanding every word I'm saying.
No, just picking out the good ones.
No, I know she's not, but the way she's paying attention to catch the words.
Like the Far Side cartoon, blah, 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 ginger, yeah. blah, 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 ginger, blah, blah, ginger, ginger. Yeah.
But no, there's times she looks at me like she's understanding, but I'm not saying she is. But I did look, I've looked up several times, what is the average dog intelligence? And they can understand up to about 250 words, you know, really smart dogs.
Gary's asking, did Craig shave?
Sort of. When was the last time you saw me?
Well, he shaved for the cruise. We can prove it. There's pictures of that.
Yeah, it's actually getting there.
Cool stuff. Hey, shout out to the chat room. We got Clinton from Comedy Forecast and Gary Lindros out there hanging out.
Yeah.
Live long and prosper, gentlemen.
Bark. Bark, Gary.
We do this show Sundays at 8:30 Eastern time, so set your alarms. Whatever time zone you're in, it's 8:30 Eastern for us. Go join our page. Get automatically notified, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or whatever. I think we're doing this on Twitter, too. Yeah, there's a little X icon up there.
It's not Twitter.
Still Twitter.
It should have left it alone.
Yeah, because now they're going to kill it, and then it really will be X. It'd be an X social media.
The bird with two X's over the eyes.
What do you call it then? XX? Dos Equis? Yeah,
Dos Equis.
Okay. Thank you to our patrons. Let's get on with that. There we are. These are the people. These are the rock stars. These are the ones who make this show come to life. They have offered up their generous dineros, whatever, money for the show.
I'm not sure where I was going. We're getting paid
dineros? Yeah, we get pesos. Sure.
Pesos.
Thank you all.
2,000 pesos, and you can also be a Patreon.
That and a cup of coffee will get you a cup of coffee. Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. No, my glasses heard Alexis and what? Oh. What? Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris Martinez. The other disadvantage of these glasses is don't go walking in the rain. It started raining while I was out for my walk and I had to put them in my pocket.
Oh, no.
Chris MC, Dan D-Man Coyer, Dean Jensen. This is highly interrupted version. Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros. Hey, Gary's in the chat. John Clifford, John Noble, Jorge Schrauen, blank. Kyle Nishioka, fill in your name here.
Yeah.
Go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and your name could be there. Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Brad Miller, Mike Wills, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Cody, Steve Therian, Steve Webb, Steve London, and Tim Cook. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful generosity. Not only did they get their names shouted out on the screen, I mean, on the camera, on the podcast. We just shout it on the screen. That works really
well. We shout them out the window.
We get them a special episode and sometimes postcards and sometimes pictures and sometimes t-shirts, depending on their level. So they get other stuff, too, in thanks for their support. Thank you for putting that in the blank box, Craig. Your name here.
That's right.
We'd love to see your name here. Put that banner on the screen, too, so the people watching at home can know that it's patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Okay, commercial over. We can't pre-record that. He's really slow on the banner today. Craig, are you working on that?
Yes, I'm trying to get over to it.
You know, as soon as you hear that music, this is like at church, people. I got to put the music titles up as soon as it starts. As soon as you hear the music, you should be on that title.
It's not what you
think. It's like 7 years later.
It's not what you think.
He's distracted. He's not even paying attention anymore.
What are we doing?
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Goodbye, music. Same band that does the On This Day in History does that. Aren't they talented?
They are very talented.
Yep. Okay. Media Corner. Wow, we haven't had Media Corner stuff in a while.
Yeah, welcome. I thought this was too good to
video. Hey, where can I find some good information this about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the Media Corner.
It's something. It's Mr. Science Theater quality here.
Right?
So,
actually, I'm surprised it hasn't been on there.
I'm surprised at the names that were in this. So we got a link from Inverse.com to an article about a movie called Star Crash. It's the product of a Luigi Cozzi, who directed La Portiera Nuda and the Lou Ferrigno starring Hercules. Yeah. So, you know where this came from. This is, of course, a direct ripoff of Star Wars. But instead of stormtroopers, they have stop action animation from Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah.
For these little metal robots carrying swords. They did rip off the lightsaber.
Of course. Lots of people have done that over the years.
But the surprising star appearances, one was very early in his career, a David Hasselhoff.
Knight Rider.
looks like he's about 19 years old in here. I don't know,
doesn't he?
And the one that really blew me away was Christopher Plummer.
Right? I know. I was like, why have I not seen this movie?
But in all fairness, Plummer was kind of funny about his, he said, unlike Star Wars Alec Guinness, the Academy Award winner appears to have taken his unlikely foray into science sci-fi in good spirits. Later quipping that you got a free holiday to Rome.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did return to science fiction. He came in Star Trek.
He took it very seriously. Props go to Plummer, who treats his hacky lines like Imperial battleship, halt the flow of time, with the same reverence as he would a Shakespearean production. Yeah. Now I kind of want to see this. Did it say Christopher Lee was in here also? No. I must have read that. I must have read Christopher Plummer's Christopher Lee originally. Yeah. And, of course, all the women are scantily clad. Because even in a freezing winter scene, this lady's wearing, like, barely a leather bikini.
Now you got to see it.
It would have been cooler when I was 14.
Oh, look, you can watch it on Tubi for free.
Oh, I was wondering where it was. Not really, but since you told me,
it's on Tubi.
Okay.
I'll go check it out. I don't know.
Yeah, give us a report next week.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put that in the media in our pass for the remote.
Let's get on with what we've been watching. Maybe I'll have that one in next week. Yeah, that's right. You can do the pass me the remote for that one next week.
All right.
Once again, I was perusing around YouTube and I have a whole bunch of this stuff in the Geek Library, including a YouTube channel from Ian, one of the guys that was on the cruise with us, who does some Star Trek parodies. His channel is called Star Wrecked, R-E-K-T. So we'll have a link for you there at episode 737 over at chuckchat.com. Where's the bell? /Technorama. First one I wanted to put up here is a video called Colossus. This is a lecture. And I'm going, oh, man, boring. Colossus was one of the big, big computers that was under super secret until like the 90s, I think it was. And it was really pioneering because everybody goes, oh, ENIAC was the first. And, you know, the baby Manchester, I'm mixing up the adjective and the name, But there's all kinds of computers that were cited as the first to do this and the first to do that. Colossus had them all beat, but because it was so secret, nobody could ever tell and go, eh. So this guy put together a very difficult research project to go find out what he could about the Colossus computer, because after the war, it was all dismantled and that was too bad. Yeah. Right. So check it out. Colossus, the greatest secret in the history of computing. Basically, finding a dinosaur fossil that doesn't fit anything else. You go, wow, this changes everything. This video changes everything.
Wow. Okay.
What do you got?
All right. So I watched Roadhouse, which came out on Amazon Prime. The director wasn't too thrilled about it coming out on Amazon Prime, but it did. He wanted it to show in the theater. And Amazon usurped him and put it on the streaming platform.
The Patrick Swayze Roadhouse?
No, this is a 2024 version.
Why did we make a new version of that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I like the original. I like Patrick Swayze and I like the whole thing. This one, I was like, I don't know. I don't know why we needed to remake it, but we did. And here we are. So Jake Gyllenhaal plays Dalton and he is asked to come down and kind of take care of the trouble that they're having. This prime real estate that this bar is sitting on, you know, it's in Florida in the Keys. I mean, it's a beautiful looking spot.
And Jimmy Buffett's out there playing.
Well, not anymore.
He's up there playing.
Yeah. So there's somebody that wants to take the land and the whole property and do their thing. Anyway, so he has these henchmen trying to shake things up. Of course, they bring in Dalton to straighten or to protect the place. It's just like Roadhouse to a certain degree. And for the most part, I enjoyed it because it was kind of like the original Roadhouse and some the feeling that it had that kind of captured. But then they bring in Conor McGregor, the MMA, UFC, whatever he is, fighter. And he's an actor now, and apparently, but when they brought his character in, it was almost like a second movie. It was like a whole, it was like, okay, he's the villain, you know, not the original guy for a little bit. It's kind of had a weird transition there. So
you're not inspiring me to watch it, Craig.
It was okay. Like I said, I enjoyed the first part. Second part was like, I don't know. Just didn't 100% work for me.
Okay. Second one I've got is a video again from YouTube called Why the First Computers Were Made Out of Light Bulbs. It's not what you would think. They weren't light bulbs. They were vacuum tubes or valves, as they were also called back then in the UK. Oh, yeah. Because a vacuum tube is not a far cry from a light bulb. It's hot.
Wait a minute. They did. That's what they called it in the UK?
Valves. Yes.
Okay.
And you'll find out why. I mean, it's basically this. They went through, and they do a very good job of explaining this, how it went. How you go from a light bulb to a vacuum tube, and of course all the drawbacks. And they do touch on the transition to transistors a bit, and they have very similar characteristics. They can be used to amplify, or they can be used as switches. So it was very interesting. They were made out of vacuum tubes because that's pretty much all they had to do digital electronics. I don't recall if it was this one or a different video that showed some of the analog computers that came along. Not digital computers that talk binary, but analog computers that could actually count in decimal. But they were much more complex and whatnot. So fascinating video. Again, I think I have a theme going here with computers tonight.
Yeah, sounds like it. My next movie, I can't remember if I talked about it last time. I don't think I did. I looked in the show notes, but I don't remember seeing it. The yesterday, the Beatles movie, did I tell you about that?
I remember you talking about it. I thought we may have covered this, but do it again.
All right, so maybe we talked about it on the cruise. So yesterday is about a guy who, the Earth goes dark. It goes for a little bit, like a big blackout.
Is this the guy that came up with all the Beatles songs because the Beatles didn't exist or something, but he went back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the lights come back on, and it takes him a little while to kind of realize he's the only one
that heard about the Beatles,
that knew about the Beatles, or at least the songs. Yeah.
So
the
he starts writing all the songs like they're his.
Yeah. He starts going crazy.
I did see this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, he kind of got freaked out at one point because two people actually also remembered the Beatles, and they were just happy that, they didn't have to live in a world without their music. And so he thought they were going to bust him, you know, or something. But, I thought it was a pretty charming movie, and it kind of shows him coming up in fame because of all this.
Right.
And starting to get popular. And then I think that that popularity kind of, after a while, got, you know, rubbed off on him. He didn't like that anymore. So he ended up coming clean and everything. So it was a cute movie. It was on Netflix. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. So
I found it rather hard to believe in some spots.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know a lot of Beatles songs, but I don't know them well enough to go, this is, you know, where George does this transition from here to there, and be able to write them so other people could play them. Like, mm-hmm. I would be singing a few bits and pieces and maybe a few things completely all the way through if I knew them well enough to sing them. But this guy must have been like a super duper uber fan, because he was able to reproduce pretty much all the songs.
Well, remember, that's what he was doing. He was like a cover guitarist, kind of. He was playing covers all the time, and he loved the Beatles. He said he did.
You'd also have to know the drumming and the bass and the keyboards. And it's like, no.
Look, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit, because there's things like, because of this blackout, Coke was not a thing anymore.
Right. Coca-Cola, not cocaine.
I was like, well, how did that just disappear? You know, it's one thing for the Beatles, but Coke also? What else
is the Beatles invented Coca-Cola? No, that doesn't line up timeline.
And they mentioned something else that I think he tried to order something, or I forget what it was, and it didn't exist either. I was like, what happened to the Earth? You know, but I also like the fact that they left that a little open-ended. They didn't explain that away. Like, hey, we all have midichlorians now or something.
It was the butterfly effect, because somebody billions of years ago killed a butterfly. And that's what happened. Yeah. No Coke, no Beatles.
Somebody time traveled, stepped on a beetle.
I mean, was there a John Lennon and a Paul McCartney, and they never met? Or
there was. Okay. You remember?
In the movie.
In the movie.
Okay.
He met John Lennon.
Okay, but John Lennon would have gone on to write some songs anyway.
No, John Lennon in that movie, he was living on the beach, and
he did go to visit him.
Yeah, he wasn't a musician, I don't think, per se. He was an artist, painter. So, yeah. That's right, he was painting, which John Lennon did.
Okay, another one I have that's fascinating. Again, you can go through, I've got lots of geography and other things in the Geek library that I say, but this one I pulled out just from the sheer tenacity of the video, installing Windows 3.1 on an iPhone from floppy disks. Now, you can get this up and running with images that you put on, but this guy had the actual disks 1 through 6 that he was putting onto this phone. And he said, you can't just take a USB phone and stick it into your Lightning port or your USB port.
Yeah.
It won't be recognized properly. So He went through all kinds of hardware. He actually had, it's kind of the cousin of the Zip drive. What was it called? The Snap drive or something. It was by the same people. And it turned out that number one didn't work because he needed an adapter, and number two didn't work because the drive was bad. So he swapped some parts around and actually got this up and running.
Wow.
But then he realized, wait a minute, you can't eject the disk in midstream. But the installer wants to go, please put disk 2 into drive.
Oh, because it's kind of locked?
So he had to map drive, like the 6 different floppies to 6 different drive letters before he put them in. It was just amazing the problems he ran into. I would have given up way before this guy. Just
my geek fatigue is kicking in listening to it.
I know. That's why I said it, from the tenacity of this guy. Okay. Then I read over here that someone had this drive, and like, ugh. So I went out to eBay and bought one, but it was broke.
Imagine on an iPhone, there's probably a lot of hurdles you'd have to go over. On an Android phone or something, I imagine you'd have a much easier situation.
I don't know.
Well, there's DOSBox.
He was running DOSBox to.
Yeah, I'm familiar with DOSBox. Yeah. It's just the device management, I think, on Android is probably a little easier than trying to do an iPhone with something like, you know, with weird hardware like some kind of external floppy. Wow. That's funny.
It was pretty amazing stuff. Okay. We got down to the question of the week. We are done with we've reached the end of our regular content, and it is look at that, 1 hour.
And in the Geek Library, there's a lot of articles you can go in and check out. We'll leave links to those.
Those are the movies I'm not talking about this week, but a lot of fun in there. Have fun with that. All right. And the question of the week is, what is your favorite terrible movie?
Do you have one?
I'm going to have to look. It might be J-Men Forever. But that's sort of a composite movie made for a special purpose.
Yeah. But I was trying to think of one that hasn't had MST3K done to it yet. But sure. I think I remember sneaking away. Did I sneak away or how did I go see?
The Jerk?
Ice Pirates.
Ice
Pirates. You know, I remember seeing that as a kid. And I just thought, as a kid, I thought it was funny. I tried to watch it as an adult. It didn't hold up. At least not for me.
All right. But we're giving you some time to think about this or check your viewing history on Netflix or something. See what you've been watching.
Yeah.
Until then, let's get on out of here because the music is telling us so. If you want to get in touch with us, there's more ways than waiting around for social media to let us know what that crappy old movie is. You can call us 707-530-2428. Haven't heard from you in a while. Be nice to hear from an actual voice and play an actual audio clip on the show. That would be fun. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, and we'll read it in our best impersonation of you, even if we've never met you or don't know your voice. That's going to play into our Patreon topic, as you will see.
Oh, really?
Yes. Talking to yourself.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, right. So get in touch with us. Tell a friend about Technorama. Appreciate it. Thank you to all our patrons once again. Until next week, stay safe. And Craig's going to give us a binary high five.
All right. 101.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.